Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. By the way, I'm coming your way the second time because I worked about 38 minutes on the first message that I was putting together here, and I went to play the song that I won't play this time because it wasn't working right, and so I had to start all over again this morning. So I'm over here a Wednesday morning. I got over here at 7 o'clock, and now it's getting close to 8 o'clock. But anyway, I'm over here at the lighthouse, and it's a beautiful morning here at the lake, and there's some fishermen out fishing, and I'm trusting they're having a good time besides catching some food that they'll be a part of for their life, and that'll be something very special. Well, as I gather around with you on the Word of God, I need to let you know how you've tuned me in, okay? So this morning, you join me by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or 100.3 FM over in the lower area at 8 o'clock. And I welcome each of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I'm glad to report that we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of web. Both Ionia and Greenville stations go all over the world, and that's a very special thing. Others have tuned me in by way of internet radio at earsradio.com. I welcome you. Those that are listening by the way of my website is Pastor Ken Harger. .com, and then bring your mouse up over where it says Messages from the Lighthouse, and you'll see Current Media. Click on Current Media, and the top message is the message that I have for this morning. So God bless you, whatever way you've tuned me in. I'm just glad to have you being a part of the service time together. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of our broadcast time. And so a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from Sheridan area. A big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from the Orleans area. A big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belding area and to Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years and still attend there. And by the way, we're back at the campus at Shiloh Saturday evening at 6:30. We have a service time as we gather together there. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, they've been meeting outdoors. That's the old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and Luray Street. The last couple of Sundays, they've done it outdoors. That starts at 11 o'clock. And we'd be glad to have anyone come to any of those services that you would so desire. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out our music for this morning. And that's not K.N.'s fart about that song. I don't know what happened to it. I put my cleaner into my little machine, but it still didn't want to do it, so I'm not going to be playing it at this broadcast together. We're going to be sharing a message this morning, which is I'm working towards some preparation for saying happy birthday to our great nation on the 4th of July. You know, folks, just the way it worked out this year, 4th of July is on a Saturday. And I thought, man, if I wait till next week and speak on America's birthday, it would have happened on Saturday and it would be over by Sunday or almost over. So I thought, well, I think I'll do some preparation work this morning in preparation for a happy birthday on next Saturday, that we might kind of do some things that would maybe help us to be the best happy birthday that we've ever been. So that's what I'm going to be doing this morning. But before I do, I want to remember our listening audience. That's the reason I'm over here at the Lighthouse this morning. That's the reason I'm willing to try to do it again to make sure it'll work, and maybe with one song less. But nevertheless, we're going to understand that I'm here to be a comfort and encouragement to you. And I appreciate each and every one of you that tuned me in this morning, and I want to remember you in prayer. Because every week there's a lot of things that happen. There sure have been a lot of things happening in our life these last months, every single week, and so we need to know that we need his special help. So let's just bow together for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, we come into your presence. I come in behalf of the listening audience. I thank you for them, the individual. And I thank you, Father, for their family unit, that you would meet the needs of their family according to your will. I come to you, Father, because there may be some difficult things that they've gone through this week. They need your special help. There may be some loss of a loved one or other things that's taken place that they need some comfort and encouragement. Maybe some family situations that's not turning out too well that they need some encouragement from. Whatever the listening audience, whatever blessings they have received, we want to rejoice with those who rejoice. And we like to weep with those who weep. Just be with them, Father, the listening audience. And I thank you for them. And I pray that this message would be a source of comfort and encouragement to each and every one. And we'll thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, as we start our message for this morning, I would like to say, you know, to America this coming Saturday, happy birthday, America. It's been a rough year, but we still need to celebrate. We still need to celebrate. Celebration should be a part of our lives as individuals and as a nation. Because it's in the celebration we need to consider that we have an awful lot to be thankful for. I'll get to some other things too that we need to consider, but right now I want us to think about the idea we have a lot to be thankful for. We've come through a lot of difficulties through the years, and now we're going to celebrate another birthday. And, you know, we've been reminded that sometimes we need to pause and say thank you for those special things that's been a part of our individual life. I think I came across this statement. Human beings are prone to covetousness. We tend to focus on what you don't have by giving thanks continually, we remind us of how much we do have. When we focus on our blessings rather than our wants, we are happier. When we start thanking God for the things we usually take for granted, our perspective changes. We realize that we could not exist without the mercy blessings of God. And I love this, what he shared with us in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, I got to tell you, this isn't easy to do. But God said, whatever happens, give thanks. Whatever happens, give thanks. Because it's God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. God wants you to have, as number one, an attitude of thanksgiving. An attitude of, this is going to be tough. Thank you, though. We're going to make it. Celebration can take on many different forms. I like the story in the book of Nehemiah. One day the man Nehemiah heard about the walls of the city of Jerusalem, how they had been all destroyed, how the city of Jerusalem was in bad shape. It was all run down. It became the laughingstock of the area. And Nehemiah felt that God wanted him to build the walls back around the city of Jerusalem. He was a cupbearer for the king, so he had to get some time off. The king liked the idea as well, so he gave him some supplies. He got other supplies, and it took a lot of supplies to do that. Those walls were made thick, not just a foot wall. Some of them were wide enough that a chariot could ride around them. You know what happened? They did a lot of work. And as they worked and the wall started to come and being built, first a little bit of it was maybe a couple foot high or whatever. And all of a sudden there was all kinds of opposition. And they had to work with one hand and have a sword in another hand to fight off the opposition. And finally one day, after hours and hours and days of work, they finished the wall. You got to understand that they didn't have, you know, this big equipment that we see they have today to do those kinds of things. It was all done by hand. And people were working side by side with one another. And it came time they wanted to dedicate the wall around Jerusalem. And so they sent, it tells us in the book of Nehemiah chapter 12, when the walls of Jerusalem were going to be dedicated, they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication joyfully with hymns. Now listen, hymns of thanksgiving. I think some of those hymns of thanksgiving was even for the difficult times they had, even for the times that they was being picked on by other people. They not only did hymns of thanksgiving, but they did all kinds of songs, and they had the cymbals, and they had harps, and all kinds of music instruments, and there was groups of singers that came from the countryside around Jerusalem. And that day they offered all kinds of sacrifices, and they rejoiced because God had given them a reason to rejoice. That was something very special. And not only that, the women and children were rejoicing as well. Now listen to this, folks, because it's something very special. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. They were excited. The job had been finished. But you know, all of them had a part on doing their part of building the wall. They felt good about their part of the wall. But I got thinking about Nehemiah, who had it in his mind in the first place to build that wall, and then had to do all the things that he had to go through in order to be able to do that. And he did it out of a heart of gratitude and love for the city of Jerusalem. And as I was thinking about Nehemiah, you know, when this COVID-19 thing struck, I knew I was going to have difficulty if I didn't find something that I would be able to do. And I have a fence on the east end of my property at Long Lake. And that fence, when I put it up, was nice and white, one of those rail fences. Nice and white, looked beautiful. But because I irrigate my lawn and my well is deep, there's a lot of iron. And the fence through the years have turned brown. And I mean really brown. I found out there was some stuff that was called iron off. I'm not saying it was an easy job, but I took the fence rail down rail by rail and cleaned them up and cleaned up the post. And all of a sudden I had the whole fence looking pure white again. I got on my golf cart and I drove down by it and I took a picture of it because I thought I wanted to put the picture on Facebook to talk about celebration. Now, folks, even though I'm 85 years old, I felt a wonderful celebration that the project had been finished. The fence was white and it looked beautiful. You know what I was thinking? That's what Nehemiah felt. I had the feeling that Nehemiah felt when he thought, the wall has been finished. This was just something that's very, I was thinking about at first, and now it's all done. And he celebrated. And I celebrated. Can I say this? Don't ever get to the place in your life where you don't celebrate the finished projects. When you get done finishing a project, I hope you would celebrate the satisfaction that it is to know that that job is finished. As we come up to the 4th of July, celebrate the birthday for America. You know, sometimes when something happens reoccurring, like a birthday, it's an event we celebrate every year. Sometimes I think we need to take a moment and reflect upon how we doing. As we celebrate America's birthday, we should ask ourselves, how are we doing as a nation? Keep in mind that the nation is made up of all kinds of individuals from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of ages and all kinds of things that we think are important. Too often we might respond saying, oh, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. But you know what? God's going to speak to us, I trust, and has spoken to us, even through this COVID-19, that we might ask ourselves, how are we doing with the God factor in this process, in this dealing with our things we're going through? I love it, one of my favorite verses in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. Do you know that everything that was written, God says in the New Testament, everything that was written in the Old Testament was written for our benefit? It is to help us to have confidence and trust in the Word of God. We can learn from it, he said, and we'll find comfort in it. So here's what God said in the Old Testament. You mortals, we're just mortals, you know that, don't you? The Lord has told you what is good. This is what the Lord requires from you. Now here's some things that the Lord says, I require from you, every one of you. You know, he said, do that which is right, to love mercy, to live humbly with your God. I don't believe God is trying to say to you and I that we need to do this on our own. But he's telling us, that's why I sent in the New Testament my son Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son Jesus, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Now listen to this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent him in order that the world might be saved through Jesus. That's what God's purpose was. I believe the God factor in our life, as I've just shared about, will help us to celebrate what God wants us to do, both as an individual and as a nation in America. God wants us to celebrate. I love what he tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 13. This is a scripture that I think we need to hear at this period of time. This is a scripture that tells us about the God factor in our relationship. What God is saying to us about what all we're going through as a nation and whatever we're going through as individuals. Now listen to what he says. No temptation has overcome you or overtaken you except that which is common to man. You're going through stuff that other people have went through sometime or another in their life. And we need to know that. We need to believe that. That that's been a part of their life and a part of our life. So with this thought in mind, what he's telling us is, not only no temptation has overcome you or overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. I know you probably have said, as I've said sometimes to God, God, I wish you wasn't so much confidence in me. But you know what? God is faithful. And he will not allow you to go through more than you can stand. And with the temptation, whatever it is you're going through, the trial, whatever the test is, he'll make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. You'll be able to make it through that. I think that's something so special. And thinking about the God factor, if we leave God out of our life, we don't have those kind of promises. We're just trying to do it on our own. On my Facebook, I found a picture of a whole bunch of colored pencils. They'd all been sharpened right to a point. And it says, life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. There's no point to it. There's no point to it. What is life without God? We need to realize that we need the God factor in our life. As we celebrate our nation's birthday. We need it for us as individuals. And I'm here to say this morning, we need it as a nation. We need to take a few moments in the celebration of our birthday of our nation to ask ourselves, is there some things we can improve on? Now, I'm telling you, there is some things we can improve on. And going forward for next year, is there some things we should work at accomplishing? And I think that the answer to that would be the same. Yes, there's some things we need to accomplish. You know what? There's two words that I really like when it comes to the thinking process. The first word is sometimes we need to rethink. There was a man by the name of Paul. His name was Saul before he met Jesus. He was a very religious man. And he thought that Jesus was just starting some kind of a cult or whatever. And he was doing everything in his power to not let it go forward. He even one day had letters of authority that let him come to a city, and if people claimed to believe in this Jesus, he had the right to put him in prison. And one day he was driving on the road to Damascus, and he had that letter of authority with him. And Jesus struck him down on that road and said, Saul, why are you doing this? And he said, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus who you're persecuting, who you're trying to stop what I have got started. And there he met Jesus in a personal way. And you know what? Later on, he writes to a church in Philippi, and he says, we got to rethink. He does a lot of rethinking. You know why I know he did some rethinking? There's one statement that is made about him. It says, he who once persecuted faith in Jesus is now preaching faith in Jesus. Listen to what he said in the book of Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right. Think about things that are right. Think about things that deserve praise. Think about things that are true. Think about things that are honorable. Think about things that are fair, that are pure, like coming from God, that are acceptable and commendable. Practice what you've learned and received from me, what you heard and saw me do. Then the God of peace will be with you. God is reminding us we need to rethink those things. You know why we need to rethink? Because he makes it so clear to us in the book of Isaiah. When God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let wicked people abandon their ways. Let evil people abandon their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will show compassion to them. Let them return to our God, because he will freely forgive them. And then God says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We need the God factor. We need the thinking of God in our life. And sometimes in order to do that, we need to rethink. Who are we following? Just thinking, where did it come from? This thought pattern, what is it? What does it produce? You know, another thing that God said about this, not only rethink, but we need our minds renewed. It's like they've got caught up in some stuff that isn't the best to get caught up in. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, hear it, the mercies of God and the faithfulness of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying, want to be, you need to be a spiritual person. Present your body. This is your spiritual service that you can do. Present yourself to God and to get some of his thinking. Now listen to what he goes on to say. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what? You spend time with people who think negative, you will soon think negative. You spend time with people who are positive, and you'll soon have a positive spirit. God is reminding us that's what he wants us to do. Don't be conformed to this world. The renewing of your mind. You know what you can do when you get your mind renewed according to the mind of God? He said you can prove you. Then he says you'll be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you think on those things that are good and acceptable, when you think of those things that are pure, instead of making your mind do the things or say the things that are contrary to that, God wants us to know that's something special that he wants to do in our lives. Sometimes as we celebrate reoccurring things like a birthday, we need to remind ourselves both as individuals and as a nation, we're no stronger of individuals. The nation is no stronger than the individuals who make up the nation. You ever think about that? America is no stronger than you are. I love what it says in Psalm 33, 11 and 12. The Lord's plans stand firm forever. His thoughts stand firm through every generation. Now listen to this. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people who he has chosen for his very own. That's what you and I, folks. He wants us to be people that have been chosen for his very own. We'll get a hold of this in just a few moments. I am going to play a song that I didn't play at the beginning. That'll be a song that will be an encouragement to us as we listen to the message that's in this song. This one isn't the one I had trouble with, and I'm not knowing what it's going to do now, but I'm going to see if it plays through, because it did at the first time. It was the second song that didn't play, so I'm trusting we're going to take off and see what happens with it, and we get the message to come forth to us. And right now, it doesn't seem to be doing it, so let me try it again.
There's no such thing as God forsaken. God won't forsake his kids. He never turns and walks away, 'cause mercy's what he is. When we fall short, flat on our face, he'll pick us up again. 'Cause mercy walks a road that never ends. Mercy walks a road that never ends. Welcomes home the prodigal, time and time again. Like a spring of living water that must be heaven sent. Mercy walks a road that never ends. We're all sinners, God forgiven by his righteousness alone. On a path that's straight and narrow, that leads us to our home. When we stray, he reaches out and pulls us back to him. 'Cause mercy walks a road that never ends. Mercy walks a road that never ends. Comes home the prodigal,
time and time again. Like a spring of living water that must be heaven sent. Mercy walks a road that never ends. Like a spring of living water that must be heaven sent. Mercy walks a road that never ends.
I like that. I like that, folks, that mercy walks the road that never ends. And we need to know that. We need to believe that that's what God is saying to us as we prepare ourselves to celebrate America's birthday on the 4th of July. Special time of reflecting upon what God has done and is able to do. You know, I was thinking about this thought about being God's chosen ones. You know, in the Bible, there's stories that God's son Jesus used. He told these stories to help people understand about God and their relationship to him and his relationship to them. And one of my favorite stories that Jesus told when he was here is about the prodigal son. In the book of Luke chapter 15, he told about three things that was lost. A lost sheep, and the shepherd went looking and found it and rejoiced and celebrated. A lost coin that was lost by a lady on one of her things that she had on her wristband. And she swept the entire house and found it, and they all rejoiced. And then the prodigal son. The prodigal son story has a wonderful ending, both for the father and for the son. And when that thought came into my mind, I begin to wonder if God would look at America as a prodigal son that has wandered away from the heavenly father, like the prodigal son of old wandered away from his earthly father, and just wanted to live life on his own, and just wanted to live life the way he wanted to live it, and just wanted to live life in a selfish way, just for himself, only thinking about himself. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me someday. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the young son gathered up all of the property he had, and he took a journey into a far country. He just wanted to live for himself. Somewhere along this young man's journey of life, he lost respect for his father, that he only wanted to get from him what he could get. Even the inheritance that one day would be his in the future at the father's death, he wanted it right now. We see the love of the father in that he was willing to divide the things between the two sons. But the younger is not many days, all of a sudden he gathers up all that he has, and he leaves his father, and he leaves his brother, and he goes to a far country. And he did what he wanted to do. He was just living the life the way he wanted it, not with any background from parent, not with any background from brother. He's just doing what he wants to do. I believe the children of God, God has provided so much stuff for us. He's been such a blessing to us that I believe sometimes we don't understand that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Sometimes just gradually we walk away from the thoughts of God. That song that wouldn't play is entitled, In America We Still Trust God. His name's still on the money. Our nation was founded on God and the things of God and the Word of God. And we know that was something that was very special at that point of time and something that was very needed even in this day and age. I'm asking again, as an individual that makes up the nation of America, could we learn some lessons from this prodigal son who took advantage of his dad and left his dad and brother and went to live his life just the way he wanted to live it without any thoughts or direction from anybody else? He was an island unto himself. Sometimes we, as the people who make up America, are too often want to live just for ourselves, just for our own ideas, and not thinking of others. Remember, it was Jesus who taught us what we've come to know as the golden rule. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 31. One translation says, as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Another translation says, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. He's saying, you ought to treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't you think that would help in America? Have you noticed life that is only as what is going on with nothing coming in and nothing going out? Everything going out, rather, and nothing coming in. This prodigal son had probably a pretty good inheritance. And he's got it all gathered with him, and he's taking it off, and he's spending it. And I got to tell you, he's spending it pretty fast. Then all of a sudden we realize, as the story is told to us in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 13 through 16, not many days later, the younger man gathered all he had and journeyed into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. He was just living whatever he could do to satisfy himself. And every day he's reaching down and that treasure that he has, that inheritance that he received from his dad, and he's spending more of it, and he's spending more of it. Then all of a sudden, when he had spent everything, let me go back to that idea. You can't be having it paid out without anything coming in. You need to be able to pay, but you need to be able to receive, have some income. And he was just paying it out, paying it out, paying it out. I'm sure he had a lot of friends when he was buying things. I'm sure he had friends when he had money. And then all of a sudden, have you noticed, folks, when one thing happens, other things happen? In America right now, we're dealing with the idea of COVID-19. We're dealing with the idea of injustice. Do you realize that one thing comes on the heels of another? This man, this prodigal son, he spent all of his living. And then listen to what it says. A severe famine arose in the country he was living in. That faraway country now was suffering a famine. On top of the fact that he had no money, on top of the fact he had spent already his father's inheritance that he had received, And now all of a sudden there's a famine. I thank God that it goes on to tell us that he got a job. It wasn't the best job in the world, but he had a job feeding pigs. Now, many people believe he's a Jewish boy and Jewish people didn't have much to do with pigs. But he's got a job and he's feeding pigs. And he's sitting there as he's feeding pigs and he's so hungry. He wants to eat the food that the pigs are eating. And now listen to this, folks. He had given to others, but no one gave to him. No one gave to him. Having been in COVID-19 these months, we should be able to understand what this man was experiencing. For him and for us, when all of a sudden our lives have been unraveled, we're going through things that we never thought we'd ever go through. He had spent all of his inheritance. His father's money was gone. He has nothing to show for it. And on the heel of that comes this severe famine in that country. He perhaps for the first time in his life began to be in need. And no one gave to him. I'm glad that he found a job. But we need to learn. He's in a very serious situation. And you know something? He wants us to know that he's going through difficulty. I want to share this thought that I came across in a picture that I used on my Facebook. We don't grow when things are easy. We grow when we face challenges. Many times when things get going easy, people can put God on the back burner is what I call it. We don't need him. But all of a sudden we're going through a pandemic and we need him. We need to ask ourselves as an individual that makes up the nation America, what are we doing as far as God is concerned? In these hard times, has my mind kind of wandered to the thought of this need of God? This need of the God factor in my life? Let me tell you how it happened for this young man. Let me tell you what the difficulty was. We've just read about all of that. He wants to eat pig food, so he's a pretty hungry boy. In the book of Luke chapter 15, it gives some beautiful words that I love. When he came to himself, he started thinking things. He started rethinking things. He started renewing his mind. And guess where it started, folks? It started from the good times in his life. He remembers his father. And he remembers the farm. And he remembers that his dad has hired a whole lot of hired servants. And all of a sudden he knows how well his dad was taking care of his hired servants. They had bread enough. They had what they needed. And now here the son who's wandered away from the dad. He's perishing with hunger. He's realizing all of a sudden that he has made a mistake. That he has sinned against his dad. And you know something? Sometimes it takes a quiet time in our life. When we're sitting there and we don't have anybody to help us. Sometimes we surround ourselves and we sound like we're really happy. But when we're all alone, when we're all by ourselves, all of a sudden we feel alone. Have you ever noticed and had this feeling of being alone in a crowd? We can do that. We can be alone in a crowd. I love it that the Bible teaches, and I'm so glad I know the God factor in my life, because that's what I go to in these difficult times. Be still, he says, and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That's what this was when it says he came to himself. He's looking inside of his life, and he's not really pleased with what he's seeing. And then he says that he wants to do. Let me just read it for you. My father has servants that have more than enough, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, and I will go to my father. I'm going back home. I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your sons. Would you take me back and treat me as one of your hired servants? That's a beautiful, humbling experience. You know, I don't know how many miles this young man had to walk back, but I got to tell you, folks, I think he told that story over and over again. He had the words, oh, I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired servant. And he arose and came to his father. But now listen to this, folks. This is God. This is what Jesus is trying to tell us God is like. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion, and he ran to him. And the dad was old, and older men didn't run in those days, and I can't run today myself. And he embraced him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, go quickly and bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. That means he's restored to the family. Put some shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf. Let's eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to celebrate. What a beautiful story, folks. Could it be that we need to learn from that story? That we need to humble ourselves before God? Could it be that we need to realize that God stands waiting? If you wandered from him, he stands waiting for you to return. Could it be that God wants to give us a second chance, or even a third and fourth chance? Jesus taught this story to tell us about the Heavenly Father, his love and forgiveness. No matter how we treated him, when we return to him, he will restore us into the family. No matter what you've gone, no matter what you've did. I love this story. I love this story because it's reminding us of a verse that's in the book of James. God says to you, and he says to me, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The Father was waiting for the Son to return. The Father is waiting for you and I to return. If we've walked away from him and we've just been living the way the world lives, we've been not having the mind of God, which is in the Bible. The Bible is the mind of God. And we're not having the mind of God that we should treat others the way we want to be treated. If we're not having the mind of God that we're not thinking on those good things, those things that are beneficial for our life instead of being about desperation to our life, then we need to know that God is reminding us that we need to come back to him. We need to return to him. And as we celebrate America, my prayer has been through this COVID-19 that America will return to God. America will have more thinking towards God and want to do things a little more in God's way instead of our selfish way. Instead of looking out for me, myself, and I, we might consider others better than ourselves. And we try to reach out and be a help to them, to help them somehow come to know the knowledge that we've come to know. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when I push the button on this song, but this song is telling us, if my people pray, and you know, God said this to us in his word. He reminded us that we need to come to him. In the book of 2 Chronicles, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he tells us what he's going to do for us is he will forgive our sins and he will heal our land. We need to come to him in prayer. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Thank you for putting up with me as I had to do this second time this morning. And I just pray that God would bless in a special way.
One day at a time.
Got to hit this right button here. Okay, we're going to have to stop and go back to this message time. I'm sorry about that. Well, I don't know what to do other than that we'll just talk a little bit more. I'm sorry, folks, that this machine is giving me some trouble this morning. It may be the operator. It could possibly be, you know. But anyway, I'm glad to have the privilege to share this message with you. That song is not going to work neither, so there's something going on with that. And I'll have to take some time to take a look at it and see what it is. But I love the idea of you and I realizing that God is going to be a help to us as we celebrate this year's birthday of our nation, our great nation, and what God has done for each one of us. And as we do that, we need to realize that God's been pretty special to help us. And maybe through this COVID-19, I can just say, I hope and trust and pray that maybe you're a little closer to the Lord than you've ever been before. Because that's what God is good about. God is good about taking bad things and making something good happen. And God wants to take the bad of your life, the difficult of your life, and make something good happen. God wants to take the bad and the difficult of America's way of life and make something good to happen. And I believe we need to be praying harder than we ever could before, that this would be the thing that God would do for each one of us. Thank you. God bless you for letting me share with you. And I'll just have this prayer of, Dear Father, we come to you. I want to pray for America. I want to pray for our leaders. I want to pray for all of the people involved in giving direction. I want to pray, Father, for America, made up of us individuals, that we would want the God factor in our life. And we'd want to come back to him. In God we still trust. And even though I can't sing the song, I believe it is true. In God, in America, we still trust him. Bless America and lead her and direct her in the days that lie ahead and the difficulties that we went through. Dear Father, would you take the difficult and turn it into a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Bye-bye.